Isn't it awesome to have our kids worship with us in the morning? Huh? You guys love that? Pretty neat. And then to turn them loose, let them go. Linwood. Let's hear for Linwood and his team back there. And yeah. I tell you, it really is cool to see families worshiping together, even for the few moments that we're together on Sunday morning. And we know it's not easy for you parents, grandparents, to get all of this together on a Sunday and to bring your kids to worship with you. So if you're a parent or a grandparent or you helped kids get to church this morning, I don't know, but if you're a parent, let's have you stand right now, just real quick. I want to have you stand and let's give them an applause for all the hard work they did today to get ready, yep, and be here. Awesome, yeah. Man, we do this because families matter. Man, families matter to us as a church. They matter to us in our society. Families matter so much to us. And I know this is true because we get to see this, you know, kind of in front of our eyes, you know, lived out when things happen like funerals, celebration services. I see that families matter to you. That when someone's about to go to heaven, you know, what's the one thing you want around you more than anything else? Your family. See it time and time again. Friends to be there with, you know, those, or when I've seen kids, nephews, nieces, just come from all over the country to be with the person that they love, to be with their family in those moments. As a minister, I get to be with families during birthday parties and childbirths and things like that. And it's amazing. I know that families are important to you. In fact, parents, if you just stood, I did some research this week, and I found out that the average American will spend $40 a day to raise their child. Now, I did the math and kind of looked up some other numbers and found out that from 0 to age 18, you will spend about $280,000 to raise your child from 0 to 18. And some of y'all have like 5 or 6 kids. I know you're not millionaires, so you're making some sacrifices. I tell you what, families matter to you. You're willing to spend that kind of time and that kind of money. And you know what? Families matter to me. My family matters to me like your family matters to you. I want to show you a picture. This is part of my family. These are some of the ladies in my family. In fact, in the rocking chair there in the front is Grandma Walker. Now, I think it's kind of rare. Grandma Walker's a special lady, but this year she will celebrate her 95th birthday. And, yeah. And standing behind Grandma Walker are 5 generations of girls that I call family. And I'm blessed by that. What you might not know about Grandma Walker is that June Walker married Ed Walker, her husband, and after being raised as a farm girl in Streeter, Illinois. Very simple life. Grandma Walker loves Jesus. She loves to make food. In fact, she loves biscuits and gravy and probably taught every lady on that screen how to make biscuits and gravy. She loves to make people laugh, and she loves to bring energy. And right now, she loves to color. I mean, I could go on and on about Grandma. She makes black walnut chocolate chip cookies. I didn't know what that was until I met Grandma Walker. What I love about just this whole idea is that as you look at that screen, you see some pretty amazing ladies. Her 2 daughters, Sheila and Paula, are 2 of the most servant-hearted, generous women that I have ever met. Her granddaughter, Lisa, is my wife. Our daughter, Kaylee, is Grandma Walker's great-granddaughter. And Amelia, our 5-year-old granddaughter, is June's great-great-granddaughter. And I got to tell you, I don't know how many thousands of lives have been touched by the legacy of June Walker through the lives of those women on that screen. And June never preached a sermon. She never sang a solo in church. She never blogged about her, you know, about her motherhood. But yet, lives, I would say, in this place and around our country, maybe even around the world, have been touched by Jesus through her legacy, through the generations that you see on that screen. Families, man, families matter. L.R. Nost said, "One day your children will walk in your shoes, so make sure that they're pointed in the right direction. I want to thank God for Grandma Walker and for pointing her shoes in the right direction. Families matter. Families matter to you. They matter to all of us. They matter to this church, and they matter to me. But most of all, families matter to God. And I want you to know this today. Because no matter where you've come from or no matter what kind of family background you have, we can rediscover this strong family life. We can rediscover what a rich family heritage is like, what a loving legacy is, by simply living God's word together. God's word. You know, we've been in this series called Rediscover Life in the book of Ephesians. So in the last few weeks, we've just seen all kinds of really cool things. God has reminded us through the Apostle Paul who Christ is and what he's done and who we are in him. He's reminded us of God's plan for his church and how to have new life in Christ and then walk in that new life as individuals. And then last week we talked about how to rediscover marriage from Ephesians 5:21 through 33. In our marriages. And today we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6 verses 1 through 4. And see how we can rediscover family. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. So go ahead and find that in your Bibles if you've got them. Go ahead and find Ephesians 6. It's also in your bulletin. If you open those up, you'll find some sermon notes. You can follow along. And the scriptures are also on the back of that as well. There's some really good stuff in there for you. While you're finding that, just to give you some context. From the beginning of time, from Genesis, Exodus, all the way from the beginning of time, we see that families really do matter to God. He wants what's best for our families. And he even built family principles into his law, the Ten Commandments. This goes all the way back. I'm going to read Deuteronomy 5:16, and you're going to hear this in a minute because Paul refers back to this very passage in Ephesians chapter 6. Deuteronomy 5:16, he talks to the children. He says, "Honor your father and mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you." There's a command and a promise. And then a chapter later, to the parents, God tells us this, Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7, "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up." Families matter to God. They always have. And we can truly rediscover this strong family life, this rich heritage, this loving legacy, for generations to come by living God's word together. So let's look at God's word. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Just kind of read this along with me. Paul starts out this way. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Verse 4, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in training and instruction of the Lord." I love this passage for so many reasons, but one reason is that there is responsibility for every single person in just these four verses. There's stuff for children, there's stuff for parents, there's stuff for future parents. And you know why? It's because bending the family tree starts with me. Bending the family tree starts with me. Bending your family tree starts with you. So God talks directly to each and every one of us, and he starts with the children, with the kids. And I suppose I'm talking to everyone maybe under the age of 18 right now, and this is really cool because God addresses you directly. You are expected, kids, to hear and to apply God's word for yourself. He's not saying, "Hey, parents, go home and tell your kids." No, he's speaking directly to the children. So just listen, okay? Listen to what God says. Take off your earbuds, okay? Take them out. Turn off your screens, all right? Lock in here. Listen to what God has to say because you have a huge part in building a strong family, more than you could ever imagine. And what I want to tell you is just a simple word, and I thought maybe I made this up, but then I found out it's like an ancient Latin word, but you're going to get the idea. The word is this: honoration. Honoration. Say that with me. Honoration. All right, kids, give honoration. All right, Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? For this is right. Honor. There's that word, big word. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. And I love how God does this. He gives the command and he gives the reason why the command is important. Remember that. And here's a promise. It says, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. You see it there? Kids, you see the command there. What is it? Help me out. Obey. Obey. This is a game changer, okay? I know this sounds simple. You've been hearing this since you were little kids. Obey your mother and father. Obey your mother and father. But truly, man, mom and dad, let me know, okay? You don't have to applause. You don't have to, roll your eyes or anything. But do your kids do everything you tell them to do? Do they obey you all that, like, hey, I'm going to ask you to jump, and then you're going to say, how high, mommy? Does that actually happen? No, of course. I know it's a process, but this is a game changer. If you will do what God says to do and do what mom and dad tell you to do in the Lord, honor, respect your mother and your father. When you honor them, when you respect them, you actually honor and respect God. And if you do this, here's the promise, things will go well with you. And they probably won't, kill you, okay? It says they will go long. They won't want to kill you as badly. Okay. Seriously, what Paul is not saying here is to do bad things if your parents tell you to do bad things. No, he's saying obey them in the Lord, in the Lord. And the Bible is full of examples, especially to kids, of how to be the kid and be the kid that God wants you to be. One of my favorites is in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 11 through 16, where God says, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. No. Yes, you're young, but you can still be an example. Set the example for the believers in speech, the way you talk, in your conduct, the way that you act, in your love and in your faith and in your purity to young people. You know, when I made Jesus Lord of my life and I was baptized at age 17, just the impact of living God's word, this stuff out, changed my family life in remarkable ways. Changed everything at home. I found myself, now it wasn't an immediate thing, it was a process, and I had a lot of changing to do, but I found myself going home and talking to my mom and dad, said, hey, how did your day go? And actually going to them and asking them questions and kind of erasing that distance that sometimes happens between kids and parents. Instead of breaking curfew or saying, they'll understand, I found myself, getting home on time. I found myself asking them, hey, what kind of chores can I do around the house instead of trying to get out of those chores? I tried to, I found myself respecting my parents, not beating up my little brother, not calling names or wishing I wasn't in the same house with them, instead praying for them. And I think, I could almost hear my parents' voice saying, who are you and what did you do with our son? Honoration. Honoration. You see, I was being the kid. Man, for years of my life, I was trying to act grown up and doing things that were actually dishonoring my parents. Trying to act grown up, and those things were getting me in trouble. I had lots of stuff. In fact, some of that stuff was telling me to dishonor my parents. And kids, I know you've got your stuff too. You know what it is. Maybe it's social media. Maybe it's the stuff that you look at on the computer. Maybe it's the music you listen to, and it's actually telling you, hey, look, dishonor your parents because it's cool. Or maybe it's, it's drinking or the movies or the jobs or the videos that really even adults shouldn't be watching. I can't believe some of the things that I see kids watching on their phones. I go, man, that's not even adults only. Like, adults shouldn't be watching that. And then you throw in the temptations of smoking and vaping and dating and all the things that come with that, and you add the pressure of school and family drama and puberty and popularity and looking good and dieting and sports. Look, if you could learn to channel that, to direct that towards a life of honor, if it doesn't honor your parents, don't do it. If it doesn't bring honor to God, to stop. If you'll do what God says and do what your parents say, then they should be steering you God's way. By the way, it will go well with you. And you will discover life. Life like you've never imagined before. And I hope I don't get in trouble for saying this, but I gotta let y'all in on a secret. I'm still talking to you young people, okay? A little secret. Your mom, your dad, they have no idea what they're doing. They have never raised you before. Every day is an adventure for them. So help them out. Help them out. Be a team. Ask them stuff. Trust their word. Trust them. Forgive them. Forgive your parents. Give them the benefit of the doubt. They love you. Be the kid. Let them parent you. And as you get older, just keep honoring your parents. You know, these past few years, I've just been blown away as I've gotten older and even seeing my own parents' age by adult children in this congregation who care for their aging parents, just being there in heroic ways. It is amazing to me. That is honoration. And after they're gone, the funerals, the celebrations of life, seeing these things happen, honoration. So, no matter how old you are, or no matter how hard it may be, take God's word seriously. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And honor your father and mother so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Let's move on. Ephesians 6:4. We've talked to the kids. Now God's going to speak directly to the fathers. And by fathers, he means specifically fathers, but probably all parents and maybe even grandparents. Okay, but definitely fathers, which covers all parents in general. Okay, you good? You got that? All right, so parents, future parents, and especially fathers, even the ones standing here on stage. Okay, now, maybe especially the one standing here on stage, okay? Because I'm not here standing here as a perfect parent. I'm not, you know, telling you that, you know, that everything was, you know, hunky-dory growing up with, you know, raising my kids, okay? In fact, that's kind of laughable. I'm not a parent expert, okay? But what I do know is that anyone, I kind of feel like sitting here telling you that if I can do this, anybody can do this because God is more powerful than anything. I'm a first-generation Christian. So everything I learned about parenting, I learned from God's word, and I learned from the church, like you guys. So, you know, if you've raised your kids, reach around a young couple and help them out. Man, it is invaluable. You need to do that. And by the grace of God, you know, our two kids, Kaylee and Logan, are grown. They have survived their childhood. And they made it out of our house alive, and they love Jesus. Most important of all, man, our kids are following Jesus, and I praise the Lord for that. And I praise Lisa, my wife, for that, and the church, and their grandparents. I mean, I did my best, but perfect? Come on now. Y'all, I got stories. And I could stand up here all day telling stories, and I'm not going to tell you, you know. Okay, I'm going to tell you one story, all right? One story. The kids, they tell this often, like anytime they want to get at me, they tell this story. A few years ago, they were actually teenagers at the time, and we were getting ready to leave on vacation to Indiana. And we loaded up our old green caravan. I don't know if some of y'all remember that van or not, but we were a little concerned that it would make it to Indiana at all, and the caravan didn't have air conditioning in it. So we left at night so that it would be a cooler drive. And everything's going great, and we're cruising down the road. We're making good time. We're ready to get on the interstate. We take 121 up to Gainesville, and we're there, right? And I'm getting ready to get onto I-75, and I do. I get on I-75 south. Yeah. I don't know what happened in my mind, but it's like 15 miles to Micanopy or whatever it is. You got to turn around and start heading back north, and I lose my mind. I'm like, no, 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 Joe, you're so stupid. Stupid, Vin, you're stupid. What did you do? And like a whole vacation's ruined. And like I have just, I've done the dumbest thing ever, and I've lost my brain. And my kids are like, oh, what is going on with Father of the Year up there? They're traumatized. They don't know whether to laugh or whether to cry. By the way, they figured that out real quick. They definitely are laughing at me at this point. But I'm like, no, this is, and I just can't let this go. And my wife, she's sitting there going, man, you need to get it together. Like, she's trying to talk sense into me. She's like, take a deep breath. It's not that big of a deal. We'll just drive down. We'll turn around and we'll get moving in the right direction. But I'm like, I cannot believe the mess I've made of our vacation. So guess what I did? I listened to Lisa. All right. Cruise down the road at about 120 miles an hour. I'm driving the, I didn't really do that. Drove the wheels off that little caravan. But I got to the exit. And I turned around. And I got moving north in the right direction. And the van made it to Indiana. And praise God, we had a wonderful trip. I know that wasn't my finest moment. There's probably a lot of times where it wasn't my finest moment. The truth is, I had to get over what was going on. I had to turn around. I had to exit, and I had to go north in the right direction. Look, parents, to rediscover family, God's way, we're going to find ourselves messing up. We're going to find ourselves, honestly, just being stupid sometimes. We're going to find ourselves going in the wrong direction. What God does is he helps us get moving in the right direction. And that's what Ephesians 6:4 is all about. It's an exit ramp. It's an opportunity. Dads, parents, turn the van around. According to 6:4, Ephesians 6:4, there's three ways that we can steer our families, we can steer our kids in the right direction. Let me give them to you. The first one is this. Parents, first of all, we give our kids protection. Give our family protection, provision. Be the shepherd. Ephesians 6:4, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up. That word exasperate means do not provoke your children to anger. Another version, the Message, says, fathers, don't exasperate your children by coming down hard on them. Take them by the hand and lead them in the way of the master. Isn't that beautiful? Be the shepherd. We have to be careful here. Sometimes we'll think that parenting is all about us, and it's about our ego and about, looking successful or raising successful kids. But yes, we do have to challenge our kids to be godly and healthy and make good choices, but not for our good, but for their good and for God's glory. And we can't get too caught up in it. See, what Ephesians 6:4 is saying is saying, we want our kids to be successful, but not to discourage them into it. It says, not to blame them or shame them or guilt them or nag them or humiliate or use sarcasm or yell or insult or punish out of anger. Don't exasperate your kids. Can I ask you a question? Will we make our kids mad sometimes? Kids, let me ask you, do your parents make you mad sometimes? Yep. Is it gonna happen? Yes. So the next question is, what will you do when you do? And the answer is we shepherd them. We protect them from becoming bitter, from letting that angerness fester. We go to them. We check on them. If you lose your brain, you lose your temper, you get your temper back. You walk across the room and you go after their heart. Don't leave your kids hanging. Apologize. Humble yourself. Explain what's going on. Ask forgiveness. Pray together. This is fruit of the Spirit stuff. Life-changing stuff. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Be parents who show love and joy and peace and patience and goodness and kindness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. Treat them like you want to be treated. And Paul says here in this verse to bring them up. Bring them up. In the Greek, that means to nourish. It means to deal gently or tenderly with. See, children need to feel secure in their parents' love. Isaiah talks about this in the Old Testament. It talks about our perfect Father in heaven and how he tends to his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms. He brings them up and he carries them close to his heart. And shepherding. Shepherding includes provision. Provision. Provide for your families. Biblical shepherds provide care and food and shelter and security and love. So parents, provide for your kids, even before yourselves. And not just physically, but provide emotionally and spiritually. One way to do this is to make your marriage strong. Ephesians 5 comes before Ephesians 6. Something to think about. See, your home should be the safest place in the world, a place where truth is told. It should be a place where their father and mother love God, and they love each other, and they love their kids. Home is a refuge, and family, and family is sacred. I suppose you can get another job, but you can't get another family. I suppose you can get another car, but you can't get more kids, another family. Family is sacred. Cherish them, honor them. Parents, give them protection. Give them provision. Be the shepherd. And next, Paul goes on, verse 4, give them direction. So we give them protection, we give them direction. Be the leader. Look what he says here. Fathers, bring them up in the training of the Lord, training. This word training means discipline. I know, bad word, discipline, correction. What he's talking about here is to use authority, not to lord it over them, but to lead kind of like a coach, okay, like a teacher with loving, wise discipline to train our kids to grow up, to be their best in the Lord. Discipline is necessary, this whole idea of training. Proverbs 13, 24, maybe you've heard this before. Whoever spares the rod hates his son. But he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. Proverbs 3 and Hebrews chapter 12 say that discipline is good. And in fact, God uses discipline to train and to correct and discipline his own children. God uses the father as an example. It says God uses discipline just like a good father does. Now I know we all want our kids to be happy. We all want them to be fulfilled. But we've got to be careful because when parenting is child-centered, when the child directs the family, watch out. Be careful. Now, I know no one wants our kids, you know, we don't want them to feel pain or failure or frustration or even the consequences of their actions, but the truth is they have to because that's life. And if we don't allow our kids to make mistakes or face obstacles or experience discipline, experience consequences, then they may never mature. Our job is to prepare our kids for life, not give everything in life to our kids. Training. So our homes become laboratories, they become gyms, they become classrooms. because our goal is to train our kids for life. So parents, become a good coach. Get those resources. You know, find what you need to do to become a good trainer yourself. Coach them so that they can go into life alone, because they probably will one day without you. Train them up. And discipline with the why in mind. I mean, think about the why before we start, you know, throwing out discipline and punishments and, you know, and rules and boundaries and all these kind of things. But set those boundaries. Set those rules in place, those consequences. It's so valuable. Explain what they're for and what they are and what's going to happen if they're broken. You know, we kind of, you know, this just kind of an example in our house. You know, it's, you know, it's kind of funny, not so funny, but we set these rules and boundaries in place. And then, you know, when not if, but when they were broken, the question was, why do you want a spanking? I mean, why do you want a spanking? Like, we didn't spank very much at all. Thank God we didn't have to. But I gave you directions. I gave you the rules, the boundaries, the consequences if you did this, and you went ahead and did it anyway. You know how not to get a spanking. This was your idea. The last thing I want to do is spank or ground you. Take your phone away. Take your car away. No, I don't want to do that. I'd be stuck in a house with me all day. No. I don't want to do that. This was your idea. Why do you want that to happen? But that's what happens when we discipline with the why and the boundaries and the rules in place. And there's all kinds of helps for y'all out there. Resources. In fact, you can go online to Right Now Media and, you know, check out our parent cues and homework. There's all kinds on the screen. They're in your bulletin notes as well. You know, ask around. You're going to find some amazing resources to help you coach and train your kids, because our kids need direction. Give them loving correction. Be the leader. And finally, along with direction and protection, we give our kids instruction. Instruction. Look at verse 6:4. This is at the end. Fathers, bring them up in the instruction of the Lord. Now, this is going to happen with great intention. This whole idea of instruction, we have to teach our kids to love and follow Jesus with their life. That's what instruction of the Lord really means. And there's nothing more important than this in life. Not sports, not dance, not school. Nothing is more important than instruction of the Lord. Parents, be the teacher. You remember Jesus' great mission? Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20. That's our mission statement as a church. Jesus himself, he said, go and make disciples of all nations. He said, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you. Parents, go and make disciples of your kids. It's our greatest job as a parent, and to love our kids like God loves us, and to teach them all we can, while we can, about Christ. You know, typically we get about 18 years with our kids. That's 6,570 days. Now, I know that sounds like a lot of days when you're in the grind, okay? But it's like they say, man, they go like that. I'm here to tell you it's true. Don't blink. Make every day count. Because when they graduate, when they move out, when they go to college or the military or they get married, we're going to see way less of them. What will they know is true after spending all of those days with you? What will they know is true after spending all of those days with you? You know this verse, Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, they will not depart from it. Paul writes to 2 Timothy. I talked about him a little bit earlier, but Timothy was a young man who was trained by his godly family, and then he grew into a mature young leader himself. Give them instruction. Do whatever it takes, and it's going to take time. Maybe an hour a day, maybe 30 minutes a day doing guy stuff, doing girl stuff, and then another 30 minutes doing God stuff with your kids. An hour, maybe that's a good place to start. It's going to take being involved with your kids' entertainment choices, actually paying attention to the music, to the movies, to the video games, to the YouTube videos, paying attention and asking questions and then teaching them through the hard stuff. Educate yourself. Parents, educate yourself and then give them godly wisdom. Teach them your testimony. Maybe, you know, let them know who you are in Christ. Teach them how to pray. Get a Bible and read God's word together. Text them Bible verses or prayers, you know, maybe throughout the week. Disciple your kids. Teach your kids. And when you do, model it right before their eyes. None of this do as I do, not as I say stuff. They see right through that. That is not teaching. In fact, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, to follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Albert Schweitzer said, example is not the best way of teaching. It's the only way of teaching. Parents, we've got to follow Jesus first. Lead the way. And by the way, none of us are good enough or smart enough to do this job on our own. We need Jesus, and we need his Spirit leading us through his word. We need that. We need each other, the church. Remember, Ephesians was written to Christians in churches. That's why we do what we do here at CCW. We're here to help you. Like we learned about a few weeks ago, Ephesians 4:12, our staff exists to train and equip the saints, you, parents, to train you to do the work of service with your kids, to grow to maturity. And I understand if you're new to all this, if, you know, to all the church, if you're new to the church or new to the Bible, that is awesome. We're glad that you're here. We can learn together. You can learn together as a family. And your very first step is just to make a commitment to be here every single week. Make a commitment to come to church as a family. Please be here no matter what. Because together we can teach and we can learn what the Bible says about God and about Jesus, his son, and about everything important in life and the eternal things that matter most. And I'm so proud of our family ministry because we work really hard to be the church that kids beg their parents to come to. Come with them. Come with them. Every area of our family ministry is worth coming to, man. They teach age-appropriate biblical lessons and virtues and values with some of y'all are involved in our youth ministries. Don't miss out on that. It's amazing. And join our amazing volunteers. Get involved in those activities. I hope this is okay, but I took a few minutes last week to shoot a little video, all right? Now, I just wanted to give you, I apologize for the quality of it, but you'll get the idea and it'll wake you up a little bit. This is what happens in our family ministry on Wednesday. Just to happen, it's, you know, and then a little bit on Sunday as well. And you'll get the idea of why we can celebrate what happens here at our ministry. Check this out, and you'll see what I mean.
Check this out.
Families really do matter, and we can rediscover family God's way. Kids, honor parents, protect, direct, instruct families. Living God's word together. It's a beautiful thing to experience. I want to close with, you know, just a story of how this looks, not only in real life, but just last week. You know, on Sunday mornings, it's not unusual for our prayer team to come forward and, you know, to take their places up here and to pray for you at the end of service. And last week that happened, as usual, but something happened last week that was, you know, to me, pretty unusual. One of our prayer counselors or a prayer team was standing up here, and I'm standing next to her, and I noticed that she's trembling. She still has, you know, tears in her eyes. And as I'm standing there, I'm like, hey, you know, are you okay? You know, what's going on? Because praying for other people's prayer requests, you know, can get you there sometimes. And she said, yeah, I just can't believe what just happened. And I said, well, what happened? She said, I was standing here, and a teenage girl came up and she took me by the hand, and with all sincerity, she looked me in the eyes and she said, I know it's not supposed to go this way, but how can I pray for you? Can I pray for you this morning? And she just blown away by this young lady, and it didn't at first know how to respond, and then immediately just felt like this trust, and felt like she could tell her, you know, anything. This teenage girl she's never seen before. And that's what happened. She said, this teenage girl, 16-year-old girl, took me by the hand and she listened to me. I told her stuff. And she prayed for me. And then she hugged me. And she walked right out that door. And I don't know if I'll ever see her again. But I can tell you this. I will never forget that girl. And I'll never forget this moment. Abby from Indiana. She said, What kind of girl does this? What kind of teenager does this? Abby from Indiana. Who is this Abby from Indiana that prayed for me today? She didn't know. A 16-year-old girl. What kind of girl does that? What can I tell you? What kind of girl does that? A girl who's been raised by her parents to love Jesus. Ephesians 6 style. A girl who understands the love of Jesus in a very unique way because of generations, perhaps, that have taught her to do that. Abby from Indiana. And do you know how I know that? I know that because I know her parents. And I know her grandparents. And I know her great-grandma. You see, Abby from Indiana is the great-granddaughter of June Walker, our grandma. And five generations later, her legacy through Jesus is still touching lives. And not just in some ambiguous way, but right here in real time on a Sunday morning in Weekiwachi, Florida. That's the power of family. Families matter to God, and He wants you and He wants me to rediscover family in Him. Not just for today and tomorrow, but for generations to come. So would you stand with me this morning? And I'm just going to have a time of prayer for all of you. In fact, if you stood earlier, if you're a parent or a grandparent, you know, maybe just kind of reach out. You know who you are, and you know, maybe grab a shoulder if you feel comfortable doing that. And I just want to end with a word of prayer today. Our band's here. They're going to play a song as you leave. But let's do that today. Let's just ask God to bless and to nourish and to work with our God. We love you so much. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Thank you for bringing life into our hearts. Thank you for your word that is powerful and comes alive through your Holy Spirit and can literally change us from the inside out and literally change our homes and our families today if we will live those words out. So God, I pray a blessing over every family, over every house, over every parent, over every child, every grandparent, foster parent. God, whoever's here today responsible for being in families, for being in homes, God, we pray your blessing. God, I pray that we'd be people who would look out for each other and draw together as a church, as the people of God. God, I pray that this would not only be a blessing for this day, but for generations to come, that we'd be able to look back over our shoulders and see the mighty work that you have done as we rediscover family. God, we love you for loving us. Thank you for making families matter. And we want to give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory for everything that could possibly happen with our lives and the lives of those we love. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, y'all.